If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
When people accept and realize that Bitcoin is a better version of gold, you're going to have Bitcoin match the market cap of gold, which is $10 trillion. So Bitcoin could literally 10x from here to become equal to gold.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Spencer Montgomery has been providing Bitcoin and cryptocurrency consulting and training for over 4 years. He has spoken to over 3,000 people and has influenced over $3 million of crypto investing. He has personally turned $13,000 into over $1.2 million in 18 months in 2017, and more impressively, sold in early 2018, protecting his earnings. He has helped many friends and family 10x their money investing in crypto assets. He has proven to be someone you can trust in the crypto space. Spencer, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Oh, man, the pleasure's mine. This is a topic I know so little about, but we're seeing it really affecting, you know, basically every aspect of really the financial and life in general. I mean, talk to us about crypto. Give us the, you know, a lot of us have heard of it, but what's the down and dirty on it? Just talk to us like we're idiots, because, you know, or at least maybe I'm an idiot. Probably a lot of our listeners are a lot smarter on this topic than I am.
You know, it's come on the scene in the last year, especially with COVID and all the stimulus packages, right? Like over the last 18 months, our Federal Reserve, our government has printed over $5 trillion. And people are realizing, like, we've printed a ton of money. I'm worried about the purchasing value of my dollars and looking for a way to preserve that store of value. And Bitcoin and cryptocurrency has been what people have looked to. So that's it. I mean, it's all about a purchasing power and a new way to store, you know, a scarce asset.
Right, right. And so when you say scarce asset, what do you mean by that?
So there's only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever exist. So think about this. Your listeners, they get the concept of scarcity. That's what the premise of real estate is all about, right? There's only so much land that can be bought.
Sure.
The whole premise of Bitcoin is that there's only 21 million coins that will ever exist. There's a fixed amount. And as more people accept the concept that Bitcoin is a store of value, the price goes up. That's the whole function of it.
Right, right. So there's only 21 million of them that exist, but what is the, you know, we've seen a lot of competitors, you know, to Bitcoin. There's Ethereum, there's how many other?
There's 5,000 different cryptocurrencies.
Okay. So why select one over the other?
It's all about network effects, right? Like, you can copy the code of Bitcoin and create your own. You can create an Ethereum, you can create Litecoin or Bitcoin Cash. But it's like copying the code for Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook. Like, you can copy that all day, but you then have to get all the users and all the adopters. And so Bitcoin is the number one. It's the one that's got the most adoption. It's worth $1 trillion in market cap. People worry that it's going to get replaced like MySpace was replaced. MySpace got replaced and it capped out at a $12 billion market cap, $12 billion compared to $1 trillion. So Bitcoin is 100 times larger than MySpace was. And so it's not going to get replaced. Like, that's the winner.
Right. No, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. So what are the practical uses or practical applications for crypto, and especially as it pertains to real estate and, you know, growing our real estate portfolios?
So the most practical use case of crypto is going to be Bitcoin. And you can think of Bitcoin as a digital gold, right? People buy gold to be a store of value. People buy Bitcoin as a store of value. The difference between Bitcoin and gold is that Bitcoin is still in the early adoption stages, right? Like, we're in the U.S., we're at like 10% adoption across the population of the U.S. And so when people accept and realize that Bitcoin is a better version of gold, you're going to have Bitcoin match the market cap of gold, which is $10 trillion. So Bitcoin could literally 10x from here to become equal to gold. That's the application.
How are people using it right now in transactions?
So you know, Bitcoin is not really, when it was invented, it was kind of thought of going to be like this cash thing that you use for transaction. And I don't think that's really the premise of what it's used today. It's you just buy it and you hold it and you wait. And if you want to, you can then easily convert your Bitcoin into a different digital currency and then transact in that way. There are cryptocurrencies called stable coins, and basically they're cryptocurrencies that are backed by the US dollar. That makes sense? So yeah, they don't fluctuate in value. They're always pegged at a dollar.
Okay.
And so you'll use those to transact and buy things, but you'll keep your value held in this pot of Bitcoin. And when you want to buy a thing, you easily convert it from the Bitcoin to the stable coins, and then you use the stable coins to buy the products that you want.
Right, right. That's interesting. I mean, how, I guess is that just sounds like more hoops to jump through.
The other thing is there are debit cards and credit cards that you can spend that will automatically spend your crypto for you, so you don't actually have to go through that manual process.
That's cool. So are people using this to pay rent yet?
I haven't heard of that. I don't know.
Okay.
Could be a way to do it.
Right.
But people, I mean, crazy enough, I heard about my buddy is a business broker, and he found this company that accepts Bitcoin to buy postage, and seems like a weird reason to use crypto. But the company is valued at over $10 million, meaning it's doing that much in revenue of accepting crypto to just buy postage. So people are using their crypto to spend on different things.
Right, right. That's interesting.
The other use case is in terms of people that have a lot, like they're accepting a lot of credit card transactions, and they got to worry about clawbacks, like people claiming fraudulent transaction and getting back. When you use cryptocurrency, when you accept cryptocurrency, that's not an issue you ever have to worry about. They can't claw it back. And so a lot of people that are dealing and accepting a lot of credit card transactions are actually looking at cryptocurrency as a way to be a better form of accepting payment.
That's interesting. But you see it not so much as a form of accepting payment, but more of a store of value.
For Bitcoin specifically, other cryptocurrencies are better used for a form of payment.
Yeah. Why would Bitcoin be a form or not be a form of payment and other ones would be?
So Bitcoin is limited to 21 million. Other cryptocurrencies don't have the same limitations, and they allow faster transaction speeds, lower fees. They just kind of solve different problems. Every cryptocurrency is basically built to solve a different problem, just like every internet company is built to solve a different problem. Think of cryptocurrencies as internet companies, Facebook, Google, Amazon. They're all coexisting, solving different problems. The same thing with these currencies.
That's interesting. So how did you get into investing in crypto? And then how do you monetize your knowledge on it now?
So I'm working in San Francisco in 2014 to 2016. I'm working at a startup. I was the 100th employee. And 2 years later, we get acquired by Microsoft. We're 400 employees. We got bought for $400 million. I'm thinking, I'm getting rich. And I walked away with a whole $20,000.
Ooh.
And I'm like, well, this is not how I'm going to get wealthy. And so I realized I had to start investing. And I would have gone down the real estate route, but I'm in San Francisco and real estate seemed pretty expensive and difficult. So I went down the stock market route, just kind of, that's what my dad had done. And I went and kind of learned all about that. As I learned about how the stock market works, how the Federal Reserve works, prints money, I got interested in gold, which led me eventually to Bitcoin as a digital version of gold. So this was in 2016. I bought my first Bitcoin at $600. And fortunately for me, I'm working at Microsoft. Microsoft has a blockchain team, and I find and I network to be on their blockchain team. I was their blockchain evangelist and ended up helping their customers and partners understand what Microsoft's blockchain strategy was. So I got to spend 8 hours a day studying all things blockchain and crypto. And that's what kind of led me to conferences, meeting people, and kind of really rode the wave through 2017. So that's how I kind of got into the space and really was able to find success in it. I actually got out of crypto entirely in 2018. I was so involved in the space. I saw so many like pump and dumpers, scammers. Just, it was not a space that I wanted to be affiliated with. I did not want my reputation tarnished. So I got out. Went and got my MBA, tried to figure out what the next thing to do was. What did I get into, real estate or buying small businesses? But by the time I get out of my MBA program, I realized that the space has cleaned up a ton. Like the scammers had gotten weeded out. There's a lot more product market fit. there's a lot more real use cases for it. And so my passion for it came back and I was like, I want to be all in this space again. But I recognized that there was a void of real education. You could spend hundreds of hours reading articles, watching YouTube videos, listening to podcasts, but you would still not be able to like come to the conviction that I had, that I had come up with after 4 years. And so I saw a need and built a course to help people on ramp so that they could get the conviction that I have in only 4 hours instead of hundreds of hours. So that's what I do.
Wow. Now that's very cool. So are you actively investing in Bitcoin right now?
I am actively investing. I actually have 95% of my net worth in cryptocurrencies.
Wow. So you not just Bitcoin, but you're across the spectrum. What are the regulatory, I mean, there's so much, you know, chatter about Fedcoin and, you know, the taxation and just this stuff. Obviously, the government's going to get its hands in everything we do. So what does that look like potentially moving forward?
So right now, crypto is taxed at long-term capital gains if you hold it for longer than a year, short-term capital gains if you hold it for less than a year. If they come out with another cryptocurrency, like their own cryptocurrency, Fedcoin, that will only make it so the cryptocurrencies are generally accepted and adopted. It doesn't replace Bitcoin because it's solving a different problem, right? Like the Fedcoin isn't going to be limited. They can still create as many as they want. So Bitcoin's, the need for Bitcoin still exists. Now, Ray Dalio came out just yesterday and said that he could see Bitcoin getting replaced or getting like outlawed or banned just like gold was in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. So it is a real possibility. But the way that I think of this is you have to understand the upside potential and the downside. And we overestimate the downside and underestimate the upside. But the way to play it is to take 1% of your assets. Imagine taking 1% of your investable assets and you put it into Bitcoin. The worst case scenario, let's say it gets banned by every government around the world and it goes to zero. You're left with 99% of your assets. It doesn't change your life materially at all. But on the chance that it does become like gold or replaces gold as a store of value and 10x's to 20x's, literally, I think it's possible for it to become $1 million a coin. I don't think that's unrealistic. Your 1% now became 10 to 20% of your investable assets. That's a meaningful difference. So you can position yourself in a way that you have a negligible downside to a meaningful upside. It becomes a no-brainer, I think, in that context.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Are there limitations around retirement accounts, around things like that, actually buying Bitcoin?
So Fidelity announced this week that they're filing for an ETF so that people can buy it within their retirement accounts. Make easier. But you can. I'm actually investing in a product called GBTC. It's called Grayscale Bitcoin Investment Trust, where I'm investing in Bitcoin in my 401k. So it's possible to do that. You can also convert it to a self-directed IRA and buy actual Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Right. Yeah, that was going to be my question is inside of the self-directed accounts, how easy that was to get done.
Yeah, pretty easy.
That's wild. Okay. So what does this practically mean for us as real estate investors? So now we know about Bitcoin. You know, you said to put 1% in and, you know, see where it goes. But what are some other things we could be doing as it pertains to Bitcoin? Or
so the reason that real estate investors love real estate is because of cash flow, right? So even if you don't want to play the Bitcoin game, you could convert your dollars into what's called a stable coin, USDC, US dollar coin is what it's called. And you can put it into a crypto bank like BlockFi, and they will pay you 8.5% interest.
That's crazy.
And it's completely liquid. You can withdraw at any time. And you're not worried about fluctuations of Bitcoin. You're just depositing your dollars. Now, why can they do that? Well, they're just a bank. And what they're doing is they are loaning it to people with Bitcoin that are using Bitcoin and Ethereum as collateral to take a loan out. Okay. And they're charging them anywhere between like 10 to 12%, 8, 9 to 12%. And they're going to pay you 8.5% to give them access to those dollars.
So people are using collateral, using Bitcoin as a collateral for dollar transactions?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That gets even more complicated. But what happens to the bank if Bitcoin, you know, takes a dive?
Right. So it's 35% to 50% loan to value. And so if Bitcoin ever goes down, they'll make a call where you have to deposit more Bitcoin to match that ratio.
Got it. So you could be on the hook. You're almost like a limited partner in a deal where you could potentially have a capital call.
Yes.
Into your bank account.
Now, we've seen this happen a year ago with COVID. Bitcoin dropped from $8,500 down to $4,000. I think it was $4,000 in literally 2 days. And so a lot of people got called, but everything worked out. The bank, BlockFi, was able to proceed, and everything worked out just fine. So we've seen what can happen with large fluctuations, and they were able to handle it. BlockFi actually just raised, I thought it was like another $100 million and were valued at about $3 billion. So they're a legitimate company. They're partnered with Fidelity. Like, this is legitimate type of things.
Right, right. No, that's fascinating. What do you see? What are some things that investors are doing wrong as it pertains to crypto?
So the main three things that they're doing wrong is A, they're mistaking information for education, right? Like, there's a lot of information out there, and they think that it's providing them with the education that they need to be successful. And you actually really need to not just take the word of different experts and really have a full understanding of it. And that's kind of what I try to provide people, because I see people making mistakes over and over because they think that they know it. Like, I had a friend who had spent probably 50 hours reading articles, watching videos, podcasts. And he's like, okay, I've got some money. I'm going to put $10,000 into Bitcoin. And I got him to take my course. And by the end of the course, he's like, oh, I'm going to put $200,000 in. Because he didn't realize it really. And so people just make that mistake of they just don't realize that the information they're given is not complete. And then the other thing that they do is they all think they're too late.
Mm.
Everybody thinks they're too late. And everyone that has bought Bitcoin primarily thought they were too late. When I bought Bitcoin at $600, I thought I was too late. And so, again, realizing that we're still so, so early to this game. And then the third issue is that they don't properly allocate. They either go way too big and put way too much of their portfolio into Bitcoin and put themselves at too big a risk, or they put way too little. And so it's making that right allocation based on their circumstances. Those are the three issues that people make mistakes of.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's been interesting to see even as these Bitcoins and cryptos have started to trade on the commodities markets, you know, how that's just wildly, you know, betting on the via the commodities markets on crypto is a game that just that's way outside of my league. But that brings a brand new topic to this conversation. We probably don't even need to cover. But that's it's just wild to see where this is going and how this crypto has evolved in such a short period of time into such a unique product. So that's really, really interesting. Anything else that we should know about, you know, as it pertains to crypto?
I always first promote Bitcoin because I basically feel so confident in it that I don't worry about it. But there are so many opportunities in other cryptocurrencies like Ethereum. I'm actually holding more Ethereum than I hold Bitcoin. So it is, I would just say, like, people don't realize how big this space already is and mature, but they really don't know how big it's going to get. So you have to, I would just strongly encourage people to not continue to sleep on it.
That's interesting. Very, very cool, man. This has been exciting and certainly something that's outside of my league of understanding. So let's jump here into the final four. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor as it pertains to crypto?
You know, I just in general, because I would just say invest in yourself. I have learned recently how valuable it is to just invest in yourself. Every time I make an investment in terms of my education, I get the return back in like tenfold. Mm-hmm. So that's my main thing. Whether it's real estate or crypto, invest in yourself, invest in education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. What is one thing you are currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I told you before we started this is meditation. Mm-hmm. I actually thought that what I could do more than anything else for my success in 2021 was to meditate 30 to 60 minutes a day. That's what I'm doing.
That's a tough practice and a very difficult discipline. So good for you. Good for you. When it comes to giving back, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
Yeah, I think that I feel like my course is making the world a better place. I've been able to help a lot of people, and actually not even so much my course, but the posts that I do on LinkedIn, I post twice a day. I've had a lot of people message me and say, I finally bought Bitcoin because of your posts. Thank you so much. I've made, you know, so much money. So I really, it's been a privilege to be able to help people in that way.
Right, right. That's awesome. Spencer, for listeners who want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Connect with me on LinkedIn, or you can send me an email at uintacrypto@gmail.com.
Awesome. Spencer, oh, and can you spell that out for us, by the way?
Yeah, uintacrypto@gmail.com.
Got it. Okay, cool. Thank you, Spencer. Hey, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.